Hey, good morning, my friends. As you see, I posted our daughter, Avigal, got engaged just last night. I want to thank all of you for the beautiful wishes. They should be zocha. They should merit to build a beautiful Jewish home. Today is day 9, the real you. And I started with a story about, famous story during, after actually the Holocaust, Rabbi Lezer Silver of the United States and another great rabbi of the United Kingdom, Dayan Isidore Grunfeld, went around looking to rescue Jewish children that had been placed in monasteries in different parts of Europe, and they were in Alsace-Lorraine, France, asking for the Jewish orphans to be transferred to the next of kin. Of course, they were grateful to the orphanage that they were saving these Jewish kids, but some of the priests weren't so keen on giving up the children so quickly. So the rabbis asked if they could come back that night. The priests were basically saying that they couldn't identify the Jewish children without documentation. They were giving a hard time to the rabbis. So these two spiritual leaders arrived at night, as all the kids were in their beds about to go to sleep for the night, and they walked through the room of the children, and they just started to sing the Shema, the declaration of faith that kids learn about at a very, very young age. And immediately little children began to cry out in French, Mamushka, Maman, Mommy. And they realized that these were Jewish children, and the rabbis were able to identify them and return them to their relatives. I shared that story in the beginning of my recording with this story because deep down, perhaps even subconsciously, these Jewish orphans who only had this fleeting memory of their parents being tucked in at night understood who they were at their core. And that's the question. Who are we really? What is the real you? And I quoted a pasuk from a Sefer Dvarim, a very important verse from the Sefer Dvarim that speaks about a Jewish farmer. When a Jewish farmer is involved in ktsira, which is harvesting his crop, and he forgets a bundle in the field, it's called shichacha. The Torah says he has to leave it for the poor. He has to leave it for the orphan or for the widow, so that Hashem should bless him in all that he does. And the pasuk, the verse is basically saying that he gets this great mitzvah and this great blessing for doing this mitzvah. Lubavitch Rebbe asked the obvious question, why should a person get a bracha for doing something by accident? I mean, he just left some of his crop in the field. He just forgot to harvest a certain section of the field, and he can't go back and do it, so he has to leave it for the poor. You know, if I, by accident, I leave some money on the floor by accident, it came out of my pocket, and then some poor person picks it up, I get a mitzvah for that, really? So the Rebbe says, yes, because whenever a Jew does a mitzvah, even if it was not consciously intended, it's basically in line with our subconscious desire to do the right thing, because deep down we want to do the right thing. And I quoted famous Rambam, the great Maimonides, who rules, Kofin oso aksha omer rotzani. And in a case where there are what we call euphemistically the recalcitrant husband, otherwise referred to as the jerk, who doesn't give his wife a get in order for her to be able to be freed from the marriage. So the Talmud says, and Maimonides quotes this passage from the Talmud, that you can hit the guy, you can beat him up until he says rotzani, until he says, I want to do it. How is that? So it's the same idea. Deep down, we believe he wants to do the right thing. But his Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination, is getting in the way, and money issues and ego, and he feels he's becoming vindictive. But deep down, we all want to do the right thing. So giving him a clop, hitting him, is just sort of aligning his external negative forces with the true him, the true you that is really great. And I didn't put this in the chapter. My son shared this famous Gemara, that Yisrael, alfa pishachata, Yisrael who? That an Israelite, even if he sins, he's still considered an Israelite. Very, very, that even though a person sins, it doesn't remove the status. That's why there's also famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah in 17a in the tractate. It speaks of Rabbi Elazar ben Judai, who was basically sinning his whole life, and then he does tshuva at the end. You can get a little skeptical about it, but if you believe that deep down there is this part of us that does not get corrupted by some of the negative things that we do, a very, very deep part of who we are, then somebody doing shuvah at the end of the life, it kind of, you know, makes a little more sense. And I wanted to quote the Baal HaTanya also, who talks about that after a Jew sins, that his godly soul does not die completely, and it's not severed from its root in Hashem, only its bond and attachment is a little impaired, but it never is destroyed, because deep down, essentially, we are good, attached people to Hashem. And there's actually a certain kind of bias that people have in general. There was research being done along a lot of studies that people consistently rate the moral good behavior as they have as their truer expression of their identity. And the bad behavior is something that happened despite who they really are. But who are we really? Torah says deep down, our souls are attached to Hashem and we are a good people. We just have to tap into that. And yes, we can do bad things. And yes, we need the month of Elul and this 40-day challenge and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to fix up things. But that's not because we became someone else. We do that so we can get in line with who we truly are. Shabbat Shalom, my friends.